Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Clive Anderson. Welcome to My Seven Wonders Live. In the My Seven Wonders podcast, I ask a special guest to select and talk about the seven wonders of his or her world. This episode is one of several we recorded in front of a live audience at the 2022 Edinburgh Festival Fringe. In it, my guest is a young, prize-winning Scottish comedian who in recent years has been making a name for himself in Edinburgh and at other festivals around the country. So here we are with an enthusiastic Edinburgh Fringe audience discovering the seven wonders of Larry Dean.
Larry. Okay. I don't know. Does a rivalry still exist between Edinburgh and Glasgow? My father's a Glaswegian, so, but that's, you know, from the old days.
There is still that rivalry, aye, but at the same time, it's like I never kind of pick on the rivalry while I'm here.
Yes, exactly.
You just got to play it right, because I used to have this joke in my show about how there's different, you know, slangs in Glasgow than there is in Edinburgh. Yeah. Like we use words that Edinburgh people won't use, like thank you.
So you're not doing that sort of material anymore.
There's a certain level that you just go, oh no, I need to keep these guys on side. Yeah. Here. So, oh, Edinburgh's so much nicer than Glasgow.
Well, I haven't inquired. Yeah, there'll be people from Edinburgh here, obviously, but also from all around the world. Anybody from further away than Edinburgh who's here tonight?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
London.
Oh, there we are. What was that one?
Dubai.
Oh, I think that wins, doesn't it? Oh. Dubai. So, do you get warm weather like this in Dubai? You're finding a bit of a shock. So let me just, before we begin, because it's only fair, just to ask you, you're doing your own show here. Where is it? When's it on and what's it called?
It's called, I'm Larry Dean and it's called FUD Not.
FUD Not, F-U-D, Not.
Nut.
No. Yeah. Nut.
Nut.
Nut. Sorry.
So the reason why I said it, the reason why I call my shows like stuff like Fandan, Fudnot, and I'm probably going to call my next one Fuck Tafano, but it's because I get English people to say, like, you have to do loads of interviews and stuff,
yes,
or like on the radio, and all the English interviews I do, they have no idea that they're saying a swear word on the radio. So it makes it fun. Fudnot means a fanny head.
A fanny head.
Fanny head.
Okay, all right. I think I'm with you. Let's not dwell on the names of your show then. Well, what do I care? Because I do a lot of interviewing on the radio, so we do, you know, we are worried about that sort of thing when people sing songs in foreign languages and they all check it all out. There's nothing too offensive.
It's so funny the way that works though, because it's like the thing of, oh no, you can't sing, you know, that song, but you can say fanny head in Scottish.
Yes. Right? You can get away with a lot in either a Scottish or an Irish accent. It seems to be all right. You say feck on British television, but I don't know what the controllers think that means or might be referring to.
I think this because, well, I mean, they think the Irish would get away with it more. They sound more whimsical. They probably just go along with what the Scottish people say because we sound more threatening.
Yeah. So when did you get going? I mentioned 2013, you got an award. Did you get that in your first year of performing, or had you started already?
I don't know if you find this thing is so difficult to gauge when you actually started.
Yes.
Because you think, oh, well, I was shite for the first 4 years.
Yeah.
So does that count?
Oh, come on. I've been shite for a lot longer than that. Okay, so, but I think you went to university in England. Were you doing comedy by then? Or
I did like 3 gigs in my first couple of years in England.
Yeah.
And then my last year at uni, I used all my student loan. I had to give up drinking, and basically my last year and a half at uni was so boring. I gave up drinking and gave up all that stuff so I could afford to put fuel in the car to go and do gigs for free.
All right.
But then, yeah, it was crap, yeah. Man. It's so funny as well, because you think, you get told that you have to gig this many times in a week.
Yeah.
And then looking back at some of them gigs, I'm like, actually, I think they made me worse at comedy. You have to, it's better to pick what you do, even at the beginning.
Yes.
But yeah, that was 2012, 2013. Yeah. 2012, yeah, I think.
Jeff Norcott, you know, the comedian, he told about, he said he was doing a gig, right? He went, drove from London down to Cornwall practically for like £100, you know, and he's obviously spent that practically on the program. And he said, if somebody had said, you can drive to Cornwall and pick up £100 and come back, you wouldn't do it. But you do it in order to do some comedy and then pick up the money.
Yeah, to get the attention you didn't get as a kid.
All right, well.
Actually, I once had to do because they do this thing of like, you have to be a driver for gigs. So you'll only get booked because of your driving and you get to go on stage for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I got asked to be the driver for a gig from London when I was living in London to Carlisle, and the day after I had a gig in Exeter and I still did it. That's how much attention I need.
Yes.
It was so weird of like getting all the way up to Carlisle and think, I just need to drive an extra hour and I'll be home.
Yes.
I've got three fucking comedians in the car with me.
All slumped getting, that was bad last night.
I don't want to miss the night bus.
Yeah. All right, let's get on with your seven wonders then.
But, cool.
So I've got the list that you sent in. I know from experience, sometimes people go, oh, what? Oh, I didn't send that. Yes. But you did, because I've got your first one. You've got some good ones here, and some I'm going to go, oh, yeah, I agree with that. But the first one, I'm surprised, I think, to see your first wonder of the world, all the possibilities of the wonders of the world, and it's tuna and rice. Now, I'm going to have to say, I'll just make full admission, that isn't even something I would ever order in a pret-a-manger or pick up in a pret. I would never pick that. But you've picked it from everything in the world bar the other six wonders. So explain yourself.
It means a lot to me. Don't shit on my dreams. Well, but I think before we do any wonders, I should clarify that I text this at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I was feeling a bit weird. I blame the moon.
Yes. It's not crazy. It's just sort of, why tuna and rice? There's some slightly more sort of wondrous things coming. But tuna and rice. You like tuna, you like rice, obviously.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's it's delicious. It's so easy to make. It's literally a 2-minute job to make tuna and rice. But
you've only got tuna and rice when you made it, though, haven't you?
I get this kind of bizarre feeling whenever I have tuna and rice now, because I usually, when I have a meal that I know how to make, I usually just make it for like months, and I do not change what I'm eating.
Oh, I see. You keep coming back to it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But now, whenever I have tuna and rice, it makes me feel so happy, because it's basically, my pa was in jail for murder.
Wow, this has gone from... I'm setting up straight.
What do you think when you have tuna and rice?
So I was on the phone...
What was your father's... I used to be a criminal barrister. Did I fail to get him... was it in Scotland? I didn't practice.
It was Scotland. It was culpable homicide.
Kind
of like a former murder.
Yeah.
Former murder? I don't know.
It's a slightly lesser charge, but...
It's good lawyers. And...
anyway, sorry. Your father was in jail for...
Not my father. My friend. Did I say
no, friend? Your friend.
Which one did I say?
Did you say for...
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. But actually,
Daddy? Yeah.
God, I'm getting into trouble there. But either way, I'm not sure. I'm not sure which is a more startling thing to say.
Oh my God! That's going to be the best show of the Fringe. They are turns out your dad is in jail for murder, Larry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just a flashback to my earlier job. I've perfectly happily talking to people's, with parents and themselves have been in jail for this and that. Anyway, so your friend. Okay, let's correct that. Yeah, your friend. So is your father somebody who's likely to sue on the bay? If we put this out as a podcast, and some people may have switched off before it got corrected. I cannot walk down my street without people pointing at me saying, murderer, murderer. Friend.
You should be fine, man. My dad's just a paedophile. Anyway.
I've never met any of them around the BBC. I can... Not that we knew at the time. That's the main. So your friend. I think I'm tempted to say don't name him just in case goes wrong. I misunderstand something else.
No, it's all good.
So your friend was in jail for murder.
He's in jail for murder, yeah. And
he's in jail for murder. I'm eating my tuna and rice.
But I was on the phone to him and he was saying about...
He's got a phone in his jail?
Yeah.
He's suffering up here.
Oh, it was like one of the last years of his sentence.
Yes.
And so he was like in an open prison. And then he said, he's like, oh man, I was so glad to be out of that shithole I was in before. I was like, oh, how bad was he? He was like, oh my God, the food was disgusting. And I was like, all right, what do you have? And he goes, man, tuna and rice every day. I'm literally looking at my tuna and rice. Yeah. Being like, I can't believe I'm living like a prisoner.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I was like, before he got done for murder, I got murder.
No, stick with the murder is better.
And before he did, though, like me and him were like, we're mates in school and stuff. And the reason why I started comedy was because. Well, weird reason was basically I moved from Glasgow to Southampton where I went to uni because it was the only place that would have me because there was not enough people to do the course. So they needed some money. But basically I was committing crimes, nothing like homicide or anything like that.
Oh, good.
Or what my dad said. I said my dad. Yeah. Nothing like that. I was stealing money with my pals. And if anyone's listening, this is all made up.
Yeah.
But we were stealing money and they all got caught and I didn't.
All right.
So that's why I pissed off down to Southampton.
Yeah. And did they suspect you of being, I don't know what you call it in Glasgow, like a snitch or a grass, that you were an undercover police officer or grass? Something?
No, they didn't actually, man. Because luckily, I think I kind of weirdly was like upfront about the thing. Not to, because some of them got caught for that, some of them got caught for other things. And then it was I don't think we're going to get done for it now. Although it'd be good PR if I did, to be fair. Yeah. But then when I moved away and all that, I was like, okay, cool. I'm not... Because it's weirdly, it's so stressful committing crimes.
Mm.
Like, I don't think we give them enough credit.
Yeah.
I think we should clap them every Tuesday or something. But it's like... Criminals are under a lot of stress because you're always thinking you're going to get found out.
Yeah.
And so when I moved down to Southampton, I was like, right, I'm no longer going to do that because I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to let all these people down and stuff. So I've not like stolen anything since. Although actually, after some Edinburgh shows, I do feel like I'm stealing money from audience members. But but then, but weirdly, so whenever I have tuna and rice and talking to my pal on the phone, I do weirdly think, I'm like, oh, I could have actually been made to eat that every day if I hadn't changed my life. Well, it's a weird seven wonder, I
and
know.
But it's lucky. That phone call, that conversation is lucky because, you know, you say he was in his last year of his sentence. If lucky he mentioned it because you might have met him at the prison door or something, or he came round afterwards. Oh, come in, whatever your name is. I've got some lunch all organised. It's my favourite. It's tuna and rice. And he'd have done another murder because. I think we better move on to the next wonder because I'm frightened where all these wonders are going to take us. They all look quite, not too dangerous, but we've already got to a murder just with the tuna and rice. The least pleasant fish, I think. I love fish. I don't know. Whenever I've accidentally had some, like in a sandwich or something, it always just, I think, this has been here too long. This has been... Whereas, you know, salmon or smoked salmon or something like that, or a fish and chips, that always tastes sort of healthy to me.
Oh, no.
Which it obviously isn't necessarily.
Yeah, fish and chips, man. To be fair, my favourite... If you get fish and chips in Edinburgh, it's usually the same as, like, in places like Inverness. There's something so beautiful about seeing Americans feeling as if they're having, like, authentic Scottish cuisine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have that big shiny American smile, being like, hey, can I have a haddock and chips? and the guy behind the counter be like, you want ivory with that ice? Totally two worlds colliding.
Yes,
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I just say fish and chips because in down south, it's always cod, and there's a dividing line somewhere halfway up England where it becomes haddock. So there's no point in, just go with the flow because that's what they want to give
you. Have you never had a bone or something and then like that? Because that usually freaks me out about having fish and chips because I find bones in it and stuff.
No. We're not really getting on here. I don't like tuna. You don't like fish and chips.
Do you like murderers?
Yeah. Well, when I was a criminal barrister, I was very happy to get a murderer as a client, because that's a bit more interesting case than most.
So were you in criminal barrister, that's the defence, or was?
As it happens, I did both. Not usually in the same case, but I would. that was a big bonus.
Because my ex was a lawyer, and didn't know because obviously we watch it on TV and stuff. Didn't know how different it was in the UK, of like the fact that they don't always say like Your Honour, they always say My Lord.
Yeah, well, it's impossible for me or anybody like me to watch a crime drama on the television, because they get all that stuff wrong. And sometimes it doesn't matter, but this is just a rant of mine. There was a big series on a few years ago, I can't remember what it's called now, but it was some seaside place, and the second series they said there was a crime, and the victims of the crime said, we want to get this woman to prosecute the case, get her out of retirement, and the whole plot was built around this. What victim gets the right to choose the prosecuting counsel in a court case? If you think that, we can't really trust your opinions. Anyway, never mind. That's just about. But anyway, you know, I'm sure everyone will agree. If there's a world you know about and you see it televised or in a film or even in a book, you think, oh, that's not right. Well, obviously a bit of, for dramatic license is not too bad, but if the plot is built around some completely misunderstanding.
Oh, no, I get the same thing with comedy, man. Like, you probably all know, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Was completely scripted.
If only I had something written down here to say back, I'd... Anyway, let's go on to your next wonder, which at least has a sort of has a sort of logic. Or Elvis Presley, I'm assuming.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. You've got a cheer. I think that's the first time anyone's cheered a wonder. So you've scored highly. Not there is a score. or I'll make this points up. Anyway, so Elvis Presley. Why? You were born well after Elvis Presley died. So that doesn't mean you can't have him as a wonder, but did you grow up on his music in some way?
Totally, man. Yeah. It was all I would ever listen to as a kid. Now, my flat is weirdly like a kind of weird homage to like Elvis and Celtic. So like,
yes,
I was so much Elvis stuff up. Yeah. I adore him. Because I used to watch him so much as a kid. And I've just realised I probably put them next to each other for a very bad reason. Because the reason why I got into Elvis so much was because I was when I was really young, I used to be into Gary Glitter.
All right. How young were you? Because you could have.
To be fair, he was into me as well.
It's an unfortunate thought.
There was genuinely. I think I was. So what year was it? 1987 that he got. And I was that age. I was like at that age. I was into him, but my parents didn't want to tell me, like, what he'd done. Yes. So what my parents did, and everyone in my family did, I had a Christmas day because of Gary Glitter, because my parents just bought me so much Elvis stuff.
Yes.
And they were just like, oh my God, you love Elvis. Oh my God. Oh, Gary Glitter's not terrible. Yeah. And so then basically I just got into Elvis from there. So,
yes.
The guy who married a 14-year-old. But yes. But no, the thing is, so that's really got me into it. And then I used to start doing like Elvis impersonations. Yeah. It's humiliating. But I used to like...
Oh, do you want to do an Elvis impression now?
No. I'll eat some tuna and rice right now if you want. But it was when I was a kid, there's like loads of pictures of when I was like 13, 14, old enough for it to be humiliating. Of me doing like Elvis impersonations in public as well.
Yes.
Weirdly, we once went to a strip club, which had...
How old were you there?
14.
14, Can you even go to a strip club when you're 14?
It was a strip club. I probably worded that wrong. It was like a stripper who was working at this club, and we just saw an Elvis poster of him being an Elvis impersonator. But what he did was... So he came on stage really fat because he had so much clothes on.
Oh, right.
And every song he would... take off another item of clothing, back to when so Elvis started in like the 50s, and then it went into, apparently, according to him, Elvis was naked in the 40s. But
it's quite a good, it's a good idea, that.
It's not bad.
Because all those sort of people, not sort of professional performers, anyone who sort of wants to dress up as Elvis at a party or something, they always do fat Elvis, because I suppose they are fat or they're, but that is kind of the image, that white jumpsuit and all that kind of thing. They don't really do his 1959 look or something like that, because it's quite difficult to get these days.
But then he didn't do a good job of it. But then my parents kind of cottoned on to what was going on, and then but at the break, because he took a break because he was tired, and then I went on as a 14-year-old and did an Elvis impersonation in front of this bar.
Left your clothes on, I'm hoping.
It was but I think it's looking back, it's probably the reason why I got into performing. But Elvis is just, I think there's something, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but something very magical about Elvis. I've not even seen the movie yet, weirdly.
It's only just come out though, hasn't it? So I think
it's been out probably about a month.
Is it? All right. Okay.
Yeah, I was supposed to go with my ex, and then we broke up, and I was like, I don't know. Like, any of you guys want to come see it with me?
Yeah. this is a recent breakup, so we would have.
Yeah, about a month and a half ago, yeah. But I found out he didn't like Elvis. But basically, I was, just as a kid, fascinated by him. And there's something about Elvis that since he went for so long and there's so many different eras, you can kind of jump in and out of, like, when we chatted backstage about Fleetwood Mac for a minute. You've got the thing of, if someone's a musician for long enough and has got enough iconic styles, there's going to be something in it for everyone. So I adore Elvis.
As I said, I was impressed if you got a cheer. And he was a very important figure. He looked good. He sounded good. It was all that transition from black music and white music, sort of, first of all, was being stolen at first, but then he merged it together. And so that's a very very worthy wonder, if I may say so. And nobody else has had that yet in the 30, 40 ones I've done so far. So that's
all for Elvis, man. Also, the thing I find it really fascinating as well about how he did more shows in his last year than every single year he did more and more gigs. And I think that's something to learn from, of don't do that.
Well, don't make it your last year, but that's he settled into Las Vegas. He sort of established that thing that you could, the audience can come to you rather than you have to see all that driving around doing your comedy act. Want to get to a solo theater in Las Vegas, and you just spend a couple of years there, and everybody comes through and sees you.
Honestly, Clive, could you imagine this voice in Las Vegas?
Yeah, it'd be all right.
Doing a comedy set every day. What the fuck is your name?
You can tone it down a bit.
Yeah, maybe. I probably should do that, to be fair. Because I do find, though, I do end up like, I'm supposed to go to America with my auntie, because my auntie's also a huge Elvis fan. I've never been to Memphis, and we want to do that as a trip. But I'm already getting a bit excited of the thought of those Americans trying to understand what we're saying.
Yes.
So I think even after a trip to Memphis and Graceland, I'll come back with a bit of a twang.
Yeah. Do we have any Americans in tonight? Can we just? No, we don't. All right. Well, somebody could have pretended. Anyway, never mind. So Elvis. Yeah, I understand that. Next one is back to Scotland, really, with Iron Brew.
Yes, mate.
Oh, no. God, you're doing so well. You've had a cheer for Elvis and a small ripple of applause for Iron Brew. So, well, what is it about Iron Brew?
There's so many funny things about Iron Brew. First of all, it tastes amazing.
Yeah.
But nobody knows what it tastes like.
Chemicals.
It's weird. Some people say it's like Tizer.
Yeah.
Or Tizer with Calpol, I think somebody said.
Yes, yeah.
Which are both great things, but it still doesn't quite take the head. Although, they changed the recipe of Iron Brew.
That's recently, isn't it?
It was probably about, most Scottish people probably know the exact date.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first pandemic we had. Yeah.
Stockpiling original Iron Brew.
Oh, totally, mate. Genuinely, you could buy them on eBay for 20 quid a can. It was nuts. But then they lowered the calories so much, and I drink so much Iron Brew that I'm gonna die very early. Yeah. But I've got so much Iron Brew in my system that I figured out the calorie difference. I was losing so much weight after the recipe change. And it's equivalent of me not eating one day a week.
Oh, brilliant.
That recipe change.
So that worked well then.
I have to have more Iron Brew.
Yeah. But that's like alcohol-free lager, which has only got like 1%. You have to drink about 10 pints to get to something like...
So you're the first person that's ever said, oh, that's good, actually. Yeah, because most people say, stop drinking so much iron brew, and you're going, no, mate.
Iron brew looms a little bit in my life, because my father's a Glaswegian, and in London, there are people from all around the world. And so if they're Italian, they come back with, you know, lovely charcuterie, or from France, or croissant, and things like that. So my father would come up to Glasgow and come back with all the delights of Scottish cuisine, which would be iron brew, those round mutton pies that... even morning rolls you'll bring back. I don't know, because you don't have those in quite the same way. But we've got plenty of sort of white bread in London. So Cumnock tarts, which are some sort of rhubarb tarts. Is that have I imagined that? They were all delicacies from Scotland, from Glasgow. All, none of them really healthy eating. They were just...
not known for it. But have you had a macaroni pie?
No, I've heard of macaroni pies, and it hasn't appealed to me as a...
Tried
a deep-fried Mars bar more than once, and that you can't get through a whole deep-fried Mars bar. It's just too... Well, you can, obviously. You're just making up for your lack of calories in the iron brew. It's quite a sickly foodstuff, isn't it?
Oh, it's delicious, man.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of the fish and chips and get yourself a deep-fried Mars bar. I do find, though, like with... the Scottish cuisine, English people tend to get fascinated by it, how we're still alive. But when I had to do that thing of like, one of my exes was an Australian, and he was like, oh, should we go to like Scottish food? Because I've never been to Scotland before.
Yeah.
And I had to be like, no, because you won't be able to handle Scottish food. It's almost like you're kind of weaning. You have to wean on to Scottish food.
Yeah,
especially Glasgow food, I'd say. Obviously, I mean, English people get fascinated by haggis and stuff. But usually, the iron brew thing, people tend to point at it backstage. Most comedians have done this. Point at backstage, going, "Oh God, bit of a stereotype, aren't you?" Just before I sell them heroin.
Yeah. But it's a triumph, isn't it? Because it outsells Coca-Cola. It's almost one of the only places in the entire world that Coca-Cola isn't the top sugary drink.
Yeah, we love it. I think it's only us and North Korea.
Yeah. There was another one somewhere, which is something like Aztec. Or something like that somewhere in South America, but then Coca-Cola bought them, so it was they wiped out the competition. I don't know if they've ever tried to buy Iron Brew, but they haven't done it yet.
Probably not, man. I don't think it'd be a good move for them.
Iron Brew, very very good wonder. We're going to your fourth wonder, which is my ring and necklace.
I know. I'm glad I put necklace down as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Is that just to throw me off as
let's chat about hemorrhoids for a bit, man.
Yeah.
Could have put that as well, actually. So there's six
hemorrhoids
of them.
aren't the wonder.
They are because there's no cure for them. There isn't, I think the only cure is a plunger in your mouth, but...
Consult your GP before adopting this method.
Probably don't want to put that out in the podcast. Yeah. I went to, what's it called, a doctor about mine, and then he drew it on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Not like a sketch. He kind of drew the thing, and I was it's like the solar system. And then I fainted. But anyways. Yeah. my ring and my necklace.
That's Uranus there. No, that's it.
Definitely dark matter. But I'm sorry.
It's a black hole. I think you're thinking of. Why are we talking about this?
Because that person giggling
necklace
over there about the ring.
It's jewellery we're talking about, surely.
Yeah. I can't remember. Jenny can't remember putting that down, to be honest.
You got a ring and a necklace?
Yeah, I always wear this ring because my granny got me this for my 18th birthday, and so I never take it off. It's just a Celtic ring. And I wear this one because it's my other granny got it from the Pope. I don't actually think she did.
Yeah. Did she nick it from the Pope, align with your...
Yeah.
Or did he award it to her for services to whatever?
Services to Catholicism, yeah. She's good at keeping secrets. Yeah.
Well, having accused your father of being a murderer, I'd like to just tidy that up. She could have been running the parish church or organising the flowers or taking children on trips somewhere. So she could have deserved a necklace as a result.
No, well, apparently what happens is, right, I don't know, I mean, this is the thing that, like, Catholics do, is we tend to just kind of... Like, we make stuff up, right? And I know there's a kind of basis of it, but we make stuff up to make it sound more like magical than it is. But I think there's a gift shop at the Vatican.
All right.
And the Pope just kind of goes like that, yeah. Like, does the cross in front of it, and then it's like, all right, so this stuff's all been blessed personally by the Pope.
Yeah.
So she got it from the gift shop at the Vatican. So I don't think it's anything. But although weirdly, because I did get brought up as a Catholic, and my brother became a priest for a bit.
Oh, right.
So I became a criminal, he became a priest.
Yeah. And,
but basically, so he used to kind of try and bring stuff back from the Pope. It makes it sound as if he's on tour with a rock star, but yeah, he doesn't have any good songs.
But can I get this back on track? I think there's a sort of there's a sweetness to this one. You've put as your wonder something from one granny and the necklace from the other granny. So it sounds like you've got a warm feeling towards the older members of your family.
Yeah, definitely old people in general, actually. That was one thing I hated about Brexit, because I was a bit like, remember there was this thing of like, let's hate all old people?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, just hate boomers. But then that was a joke. Fucking hell, sorry.
Yeah.
See the tension in the room there.
Read the room a bit.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, the fact they laughed at hemorrhoids, I should have known the age group. Yeah. But
I was once at an award ceremony for chemists, you know, chemists and things, and it struck me that the marketing department of one particular product really hadn't thought it through. It's been around for years. So the stuff you could put on your hemorrhoids, normally you'd come up with some sort of euphemism or sort of way of, you know, sugaring the pill. But the best-selling one is called Anasol. I mean, how upfront is that? I mean, they haven't made any effort to make that a more pleasant purchase. We're out of aerosol. The guy here needs it.
I once went into a shop and asked for anusol, and he went, it's pronounced anusol, and I said, do you honestly think you're fooling anyone with that?
Get away from hemorrhoids, back onto your grannies. So
But yeah, I've got like a lot of love for old people, and so one of my grands is still around.
Yeah,
and so her memories. I think she's 97. It's just her 97 a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
and tends to be she's the one I miss the most when I'm at the Fringe because I can't go through that much. But then what's really sweet is like when people's like memory goes or like, you know, signs of dementia and stuff happen when an older person. It usually, like, it sounds horrifying, and it is to an extent when they're stressed about something, but when they're not stressed and they're actually going, like, saying stuff that they're getting confused about, it's weirdly adorable and lovely because you get to see, because they think they're a kid, and you get to see your grandparent as a kid.
All right.
And it's like, so the other week, because I think as well there was like some infection thing which makes everything worse than old people. So my gran was like, she was telling about her mum was coming to pick her up because they need to go on holiday together, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going along with her. I'm not going to correct her because I don't want her to get confused. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And she was like, she kind of like looked around the room and then leaned into me and went, do you want to come with us? And I was like, yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah. I'd love that. And she went, okay, but you're going to have to pretend you're my brother. I was like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing. I'm like, it's just absolutely adorable. So we usually just sit and watch, because classical music helps relax them as well. So me and my gran usually just sit and watch the same classical music concert again and again. And it's so funny that she'll constantly point at people on the TV and say who they look like.
Oh, the same.
And, but then she'll... completely, she's the fucking best at roasting people. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
she'd be like, well, how did she would literally be like, oh, why did you think that shirt was a good idea? Yeah. So yes, you're 97, but you got fucking sass, honey. Yeah. Love it.
She goes through the same thing with the same people as...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, she comes up with new ones. Oh, weirdly, because I did say to my dad, I'm like, God, she's actually fucking on form today. Yeah. She's got some new zingers.
Yeah.
I'm sitting next to her notepad going, yeah, come on, granny.
So do you think that's where you got your comedy skills? Did you inherit that from that grandmother?
From her granny? Maybe a wee bit, I suppose. Because usually I'm a bit daft on stage, which definitely my dad's side, which is my grand's side.
Yeah, okay.
And usually I can make her laugh if I'm doing something a bit weird, like a stupid dance or some kind of weird shit like that. Yeah. And then my mum's side is a lot more cutting. Like, anyone who's ever met my mum's side of the family usually goes, are your family quite on the spectrum? And none of them have had a test, but it's just so literal and so blunt that people, like, it's either they're just rude or... And I have looked it up and I thought, yeah, they probably are to some extent.
But what made you think you'd be a comedian? Because, you know, a lot of people are funny, but you've got to take that decision, I'm going to have a crack at it to drive around and get small amounts of money with a view to more success later on. Did you have any precedents in your family or, you know, your locality? Oh, this, yeah, he did it, why not me? Or did it just come out the blue as far as you're concerned?
Weirdly, well, first of all, there was like me committing the crimes and I thought I've got to go away and do a course. And I thought I've always been funny in school and I didn't really do well in school on exams and stuff. I used to just copy people. I wasn't even good at that. This girl used to always do, her name was Ashley, she did well in my school, and I thought I'll just copy what she does. So I started sucking off my teacher. But what I ended up doing, definitely I'm going to let my granny to listen to this podcast. Yeah. But then,
luckily, she'll forget about it the next day.
So weirdly, I just thought
I copied
funny
what school. Ashley did. So I'm just writing that joke down. It wouldn't work as well if I said it, would it? I don't know. Maybe
get some rumours started.
Yeah, okay.
So it's never too late to join the club. Yeah. I'll put in a good word for you.
Hang on, can we just get through this interview before you start all that kind of talk?
It's not an interview, it's conversion.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do think with the comedy thing, well, weirdly, the thing that made me do it the most, right? So I thought I've always liked making my mates laugh. It's I've always kind of been a bit funny. I'll give it a try. And then my dad didn't want me to move to Southampton because he didn't know what I'd been up to in Glasgow. And then he said, he was like, well, you're not funny. Why do you want to do comedy? You're not funny. Yeah. And then, so I just kind of remember looking at my dad before I got on that train going, I'm going to fucking prove you wrong.
Yeah.
Now he finds me funny. It took 10 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of really horrible gigs. But that's why I kind of got into it.
That is, I think that's Scottish parenting, isn't it? No, why are you doing that? You're no good at it, you know. So you're supposed to encourage people.
I think that's the magic of grandparents and stuff. Yes. I think that's like, because I'm noticing, I'm watching my mum and my dad because they're now grandparents, and the way your grandparents are is usually kind of based on what your parents would be if you weren't their responsibility.
Yes.
And it means that your grandparents get to be the sweet, lovely ones. And as soon as you get too hype with all that sugar and stuff, they go, you go back to your mum and dad now.
Yes.
So that's why I tend to, like, I hold on to these things all the time because I'm just like, they both mean a lot to me.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think we've been talking about your ring and necklace, so we're going to go on to the next wonder, which is stars.
Stars, aye man. Absolutely adore looking at the night sky whenever we actually get to see it.
Yes.
It's my favourite thing in the world because I remember one thing I wanted to do for my holidays. You know, you can see the universe if you go like far enough north and it's like a clear enough night,
yeah,
and you let your eyes adapt for like 4 hours in complete darkness, you can see the universe. I wanted to take my ex there just so he could see that he's actually not the center of it.
Yeah. Well, if you go far enough north, maybe even here, you can see the Northern Lights. Have you ever seen the Northern? They're fantastic. It's the most genuinely extraordinary thing that you'll ever see, because it's like there's a light show going on. And have you all seen the Northern Lights? It's just brilliant. There's a coloured lights. It's not like stars, little pinpricks. It's just, you know, it's like a lighting rig going crazy.
I see it before European matches at Celtic Park. Yeah. So like, no, I'd love to. It's definitely something I want to do. I'm trying to like base holidays around it.
Yeah.
I had a holiday up in Aberfeldy in Scotland,
yeah,
kind of in the middle of nowhere. And it was a really clear night and I could see the stars.
Yes.
And I says to my sister, I was like, oh, do you want a fancy going up to, like, I can't remember the name of the hill, but there's like some big hill next, yeah, to it. I says, fancy jumping in the car, we'll get in to the top of the hill and we'll be able to see, there'll be no street lights, so we'll see it really clearly. Yeah. And she's like, aye, that's amazing, yeah, so let's do it. So we went up to this hill in the car and we got out of the car, turned the lights off, got out, and my sister, I just hear in the pitch black, right, because I'm so childish, but you get a bit giggly when it's, yeah, dark, right?
Yeah.
Or scared. And and basically, I just heard my sister going, oh my God, open the car. Someone's here. Someone's here. Right? So I open the car. She jumps in and I lock it and then it goes dark again. And I'm thinking, she's just been, yeah, fucking dramatic, right?
Yeah.
And then I just hear, like, footsteps, yo, right? And I just go, hello? And then I heard the footsteps again. I jump back in the car and we turn the lights on. I go in the car and I do a burly.
Yeah.
I turn around.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. And I do a burly and then, yeah, with the lights on, no one's there. There's no, what's it called? No fences, no, nothing that would show there was any animal there. There was no animals either. And also it was 2 footsteps, it wasn't 4. And me and my sister were like, oh, do you think that was an alien?
Yeah.
But so generally, like, that's how determined I've been. But to see the night sky, but I absolutely, what's it called? I'm convinced I saw an alien that night. Well,
so,
I was near an alien.
Heard of it. So we don't know what the ending of that story is. That
no.
You never discovered, oh, there was a...
Is this the bit where you take like your head off or something? Just, like,
but it was like a deer or, you know, or something, just nothing.
No, because I thought I would have seen a deer or like, yeah, I would have heard, that you could usually tell from the footsteps of something,
yeah,
or what it is. Also, I'm pretty sure deers are quite timid. I'm pretty sure me saying hello,
yes,
would have made it going, oh fuck, better get out of here, man.
Yeah. That would be my thought, certainly. But I all right, well, so Star, so this has been a good week. I don't know if you've been able to, because, you know, the clear skies at night, you could go up Arthur's Seat or something and just look at the stars. So,
oh,
I can,
no,
tell you haven't done that from your look
in, no,
your face.
No, exactly. Yeah. I'm too busy concerned about the ones on my poster.
Having to draw the extra ones on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's always the case. It's, yeah, been in Edinburgh. Just like, oh, why did you come in the bad day?
Yeah.
But no, I'm not going up Arthur's Seat yet. No. And I will probably in the... I've never gone up at night. I usually go up during the day. And my mate's not in Edinburgh with me. And we always have this, so dumb. We have an ongoing joke of when we're walking down, we'll tell the tourists who've never been to Edinburgh before that the gift shop at the top is closed.
Oh dear. Yeah.
But yeah, anywhere that, what's it called? If anyone's listening as well, they'd recommend holiday destinations to go to see, obviously the Northern Lights and stuff, but also other places that you could see.
Yeah.
You tend to see more of a night sky stuff. Yeah. I'd love to, because there's nothing better, I think, than more relaxing.
Right. Well, it's certainly a case you need no lights on, but you also need a clear sky. So, Scotland, you might find plenty of places with no lights on, but the clear sky is, it's
the hidden. National park between here and Inverness, the big one in the middle, I can't remember what it's called.
Ken Gorms, are we talking about that sort of thing?
Or? Not sure. I mean, I don't even, probably if somebody said what it was, I probably wouldn't even know what it was. But okay. It's just a big green bit on the map.
Would that be the Cairngorms? Oh, the National Park.
The National Park.
Well,
I can remember the name of that one, actually. Yeah. I'll do that.
Loch Lomond and the Trossachs.
Oh, no. I don't like going to near... I like lochs during the day.
Yeah.
And I wanted to live near Loch Katrine in Scotland. Because I thought, it'd be amazing. Got a loch. So I have the night sky in the sky and on the... On the loch.
You wouldn't even have to look up. You could just look at the stars.
Exactly, man. Yeah. And just before I fling my cigarette into it. But my mate Eleanor grew up next to a loch. And she was like... I hope you like moths. Is it what? She's like, because the moon reflects, so all the moths are all around the loch.
Oh, right.
So I hate lochs at night because I'm terrified of moths, man.
Oh. How are you with midges? Because that's another.
I don't
issue.
Mind them, they're all right.
Yeah.
I think, what's it called? I think it's more of a. I used to see more of them. I remember as a kid, you used to be on your bike and you used to get a face full of them, but you don't really get them anymore.
There's not many this year. It's been a good year, or bad year, depending on how you look at it, for midges. So bad for them. Yeah. Midges love me. I am a midge magnet. So I. if there's midges around, you want to go have me with you because they're all around me. And never mind. So that's.
You're trying to get me to go out clubbing with you.
Yeah.
I'm a midge magnet, man.
Wales is your next one.
The animal.
You spelt it with an H, so I assume you mean the animal. So,
yes.
So
this has been a big mistake.
Yeah. Wales. Why Wales? Why Wales?
Big, innit? Yeah. I think that's about it. I don't know. I think Wales relaxing. I think most of the things are like on this list seem to be of like looking at it kind of objective. Like it's either stuff that stressed me out or stuff that relaxes me.
Yeah.
But I was getting so addicted to social media because you have that thing of like, you know how everybody's life looks amazing on social media. Mm. So what I did was I started like just following whale accounts because they don't tend to brag that much. Got next, I'm looking at it. Oh, guess what? A whale got 5 stars from The Guardian. But they tend to, what's it called? They're just so relaxing to look at. I remember watching Free Willy as a kid, and I was like, oh, they're really fascinating creatures. But it tends to be most animals, I just find animals are so much. I'm one of those people that likes animals better than humans.
Okay, fair enough.
But some of the animals I've picked to have in the past don't tend to be great. Like, I mean, I've had ferrets.
All right. Well, as a pet.
I had 3 ferrets.
Oh, I've always liked the look of that as an idea. But they're a bit nippy, aren't they? They bite you.
Aye, coming from a midge magnet.
Yeah. I don't mind being a midge magnet, but a ferret magnet. I don't want that.
They tend to be... Yeah, well, one of them was a fucking right bell end, man. He was...
Yeah.
One of them would not stop biting. God, I fucking hated that one. But it was cute because it used to be like... the play fighting stuff. I had this weird thing though of like I was a virgin until I was 23. It's not about you, Clive, that just makes me go, I'll be really honest here.
Good.
Was a virgin until I was 23.
Yeah.
And because I became an Elvis fan. And but basically I had these ferrets when I got them when I was 18.
Yeah.
And I had them for 5 years. And when I didn't do anything with the ferrets before anyone gets concerned.
No.
But basically, I remember when I got in a relationship, I no longer had the ferrets. As in, they didn't just leave.
In a huff.
Yeah. You don't need us anymore. Yeah. You've moved on. But I remember the thing of like, I feel that with the, what's it called? It was only a coincidence of like, it was like the thing of I was away gigging too much and I couldn't look after the ferrets enough. And then I had a relationship and stuff. But it was dead weird of like, those ferrets were the thing of like, those were the best thing at keeping me company.
Yeah.
But I was this little psycho in the fucking, in this big London block of flats.
You had ferrets in a block of flats in London?
Yeah, I was the ferret guy.
Yes.
So I was going out and they were like, why does the car park stink as shit?
Yeah.
Is that, that's my fault. And I'm the guy that has the ferrets. By the, what's it called? They were like amazing creatures. Also, because I've had dogs and I've just always found that, because my dog is, I've got a rough collie. And if anyone ever wants to get a dog, I'd always say definitely get a dog, because get a rough collie, because they're the most loyal dogs ever.
All right. I'm clever, aren't they, collies? They're clever dogs. Yeah.
Clever, but my God, she's just so like emotional.
Yeah.
Like if anyone raises her voice or anyone doesn't sound happy, she fucks off out of the room, because she's like, I can't deal with this at the moment. It's just too much. She's a wee hen. I love her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find with whales, I probably don't, it's because my fascination probably comes from that it's the only one I couldn't have as a pet.
They're hard to look after, aren't they? Because but I'm now you've mentioned the ferrets, I'm fascinated about, do you keep them in a cage and take them out to sort of like, do you get walks with the ferret, or does it run around the flat, or do you have to chase rabbits with them, or, you know, what's, how does it, they've got to do something, haven't they?
I'm gonna sound so grotty here, but so I kept my ferrets in the house, and then my housemate was like, you're going to have to fucking put them outside, because they're absolutely humming.
Yeah.
And they were like shitting in the corner and stuff, right?
You said you were a virgin until you were 23. Do you think the fact that they were... that's the cause and effect.
Maybe. Yeah. I found as well, though, they attract other animals, because I was in this like basement flat and I had the window open because it smelled of shit. But then a cat came in. And he just, the cat did this weird thing of just kind of looked around the corner of the window and looked at me and like, you all right, mate? Can I look at the ferrets for a wee bit? And so then the cat used to come in every single night as well.
And did the ferrets not try and chase the cat?
But the cat just knew to stay up high. But the ferrets would, oh man, they could kill anything if they wanted to, especially that one of them. We used to call one of them the dinosaur. That was when it bit everybody and all the time. Yeah. But yeah, they're such good characters. I think they're the only animal apart from dogs that can sense, it's either sense human emotion or greets you when you come in.
Yeah.
But they would be in the hutch, but when you'd like open the hutch door, they'd be like on their hind legs and stuff going, oh, what's happening, mate?
Yeah.
Not actually that, but I'd love that. But, oh, shut up, man. They do look like that, actually. When they go up.
What do you feed them? Is there special ferret food you can get, or do you just bring a bit of roadkill back, or what's the.
Well, weirdly, the guy I sold them to was, well, I didn't sell them, I gave it to him. But then he sent me like what he feeds them. He fed them like bugs and stuff. Or they're actually probably dead now. But he used to feed them bugs, and I was like, I'd feed them like normal ferret food, which is just, I don't know, it's called ferret food. It's probably just kitten food as well. You can have as well. The basic, it's like having kittens all year round.
Okay. Well, no,
I'm not selling ferrets very well.
I saw a guy with a couple of ferrets in London. Yeah, where Arsenal's stadium has a sort of, you can walk all the way around it, the new stadium they've got, and you know, people often skateboarding, or they run, or they do that, and there's a few dogs and things, and then this guy had a ferret, two ferrets, and I thought, oh, that's great. So I came back, we must get a ferret, and my family pushed me off it as an idea.
It's not worth it. I definitely recommend going to a petting zoo and seeing some petting zoos have ferrets, and I'd recommend, unless if you've got chickens, they are good at preventing foxes for some reason. Foxes. Rats smell ferret shit and they think, oh, I better not.
Oh, well, that's
rats
good.
Are like, oh,
that's good.
Absolutely disgusting.
But presumably they kill the chickens as well when they're going to get a bit hungry.
I don't know if actually ferrets would kill a chicken. I'm not sure. Probably.
They just look like animals that will kill anything. And they could kill anything.
We've got to
zoom on. We're going to run over time. So your last wonder is a big item, Stonehenge. You're looking like a beggar, so you've never heard of this.
I've actually never been. It looks good. I drove past it so many times on the 8th. Is it 303?
I think it is, yeah.
And I've got this weird relationship with Stonehenge because I drove past it, and I think anyone that drives past Stonehenge goes, that looks fucking shit. You know what I mean? Because it's like, since it's a wonder of the world,
yeah,
you actually go, well, it will be amazing. But it's like, you have to actually read into the fact of how old it is and stuff before you actually go, that's amazing. But then whenever I drove past it, it was usually to do gigs down in the southwest.
Yeah.
Thanks. So I'll be struggling there. I was doing the shredded week thing. But yeah, in the southwest, and I would do them for free. So it always make, so when I see Stonehenge, it just kind of makes me think of starting comedy again and doing badly. So it's a wonder of the world for me, because I'm like, I actually might one day be able to go visit that and not have to do a gig. It's the dream.
I think it's a wonder of the world. Though you sound as though you don't think it's a wonder of the world. But you're right. People often say, oh, from a distance, doesn't look much. But if you get out and it's a little bit organised now, so you have to go to the car park and then you come up in a coach. And when you get close, and you can't get that close anymore because they're worried about, you know, being damaged or something. But they are enormous stones. And the idea of, and I did a TV programme about them 2 or 3 years ago, and they had some new theories about it. And since then, there have been at least 5 more new theories, but the latest one is they think they found a site in Wales where some of the important stones had been erected and sort of put up, and then it was moved from Wales to Wiltshire. I mean, the borders between England and Wales didn't exist in those days, but just the sheer absurdity of being able to move things, and the people gathered there from all over, you know, Britain. So for people living what is now Scotland, would go down and have a feast at the around Stonehenge. So it's an extraordinary thing.
Oh yeah, and it's also when I've looked into the thing about it, I was like, it's amazing that they moved it that long ago and stuff, but. Yeah. I mean, it's not as impressive as those terrible gigs I did. but also, I do find with that, like, what I do find with the Stonehenge stuff is there's loads of, like, on TikTok or, like, those kind of videos, they've got things about how there's all these conspiracy theories.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory of, like, it's like a thing of, like, has aliens come down or done that, or, like, how a lot of them line up on the map.
Yeah, like line up for the sun and everything like that.
Yeah. But I do... I think one thing Stonehenge has taught us more than anything, the fact that you're not allowed to go close to it because people are graffitiing it.
Yes.
Is the fact that no matter where you go in the world, there's always going to be some fucking prick that ruins it for the rest of us.
Yes. I think that's the message of it all. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I should. We're running over time. I could bang on about it. Thank you very much, Larry. You've been a brilliant guest. I've got to choose the wonder of wonders from your list of 7. The one which struck me as particularly wonderful, as you described it on the podcast. You seem to stray off most topics as soon as you mention them. So I don't know whether to bring in, say, my ring and necklace, because that's really your granny's. Stars is good. Wales was, we didn't really get into Wales much. It was, I think the one that was the most enthusiastically received in the room and by me, because it reminded me of my childhood as well as your current situation. I'm going to go with Iron Brew, which seems, sorry to go with a cliche one for Scotland, but we haven't had an Iron Brew wonder in the previous 40. So I'll make that your wonder of wonders, Iron Brew. Can we have a big hand, please?
If you enjoyed this episode of My 7 Wonders, it would be wonderful if you could rate and review us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you found us. Thank you for listening.
My 7 Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stack production in association with Alaska TV and powered by the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.